Well, good morning. We're glad you're here today. Would you stand with us as we begin this time of worship? How many of you know Jesus is alive? Amen? Amen. Praise God.
The same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord, that you live and you reign and that you are the greatest Father we could ever dream of having. Lord, we lift up your name today and we praise you, for this day is the day that you have made and we will rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love that song because it says that every day is a new day to tell people that Jesus is the way. And so I just challenge you to take that upon yourself and to tell people every day with your life, with your word, with your actions, that Jesus is the only way, and that he is the hope in the midst of all our troubles. Amen? Amen and amen. Well, it's so good to be with you this morning. And whether you're comfortable in your pajamas or whether you're standing up shouting and saying amen in your living room, whatever it may be, we're glad you're here worshiping with us today. And I have a few announcements for you. But before I do that, let me just say, if this is your first time hanging out with us, thank you. Thank you for coming and to be a part of our service here at Noble Assembly of God. We hope that you're challenged by the worship, that you're moved and blessed by the word that will be delivered today, and that you are just going to feel like family right off the bat. And so thanks for being a part of our worship service today. I want to give you a few announcements. Many of you have asked, and we're almost ready to answer, when will we be back in the building? And the answer to that question is, we will let you know this week. This week, we're still making a few decisions about all that the governor has put out and what our mayor has decided and what our district officials have advised. And so we'll get together with our board and all of our leaders, and we'll make a decision when exactly is the best time for us, based upon the restrictions they put on us, and then we will try to make it as easy as possible for you to either watch from right where you're at right now or come join us right here in the building and worship together. And so be watching for that this week, as we will be sharing with you, Pastor, and I'll be sharing with you what the plans are for the coming weeks. Want you until then to continue watching us on the Noble Assembly of God Facebook page, the Epic Life Facebook page, nobleassembly.com. You can do all of the above and see all that's going on. Sometimes I'm playing games with everybody. Sometimes we're doing devotions. We obviously do our Sunday services here, and we do Wednesday on the two platforms, the Noble Assembly of God and the Epic Life page. And so there's lots of stuff for you to get in on, and we'd love for you to do so. We'd like to challenge you to continue to be faithful in your giving, and remind you there's four ways to do that, okay? So the first one is, you can go to nobleassembly.com and give right there online, or you can mail it. You can mail it right through the post office, and it's post office box 597 at Noble, Oklahoma, 73068. Or you can drop it off here at the church during normal office hours, Monday through Friday. Or you can, if you need and you can't get out, you're unable to get out, you can call the church, and Pastor, I'll be willing to come and get it from you. And whatever would make it easy for you, as we remain faithful to the Lord, not only in worship through our singing, worship through our church attendance, but worship through giving. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray over the offering. I want to continue to pray that the Lord would bless all finances, not just the finances of the church, but I'm praying for those who maybe have lost a job today. Maybe you're looking for a different employment. Maybe employment isn't as good as it was before all this began. The Lord's in control of all that, and he can put his hand upon that and multiply it. I'm hearing stories of people who are being blessed even more than before, and so we just want to ask that the Lord would continue to multiply. As we're faithful to him, oh, he is more than faithful to us. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you would just put your hand upon all the finances of the church, the finances of the people. And Lord, we pray right now that you would continue to bless us. Lord, as we give unto you, we know you multiply it and pour it back upon your people. And so we ask right now that you would just touch those who maybe are looking for a job, those that are unemployed, those whose job is not what it once was. Lord, we know that you can take what's happening here and you can turn it around for the good of your people. And so we just trust in you. We place our faith in you. And Lord, we ask right now that you, Lord, would just place your hand upon all the finances. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go back into worship. Come on, stand back up. Let's do it.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, There is only one foundation. We believe. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. You believe this morning? Hallelujah. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the song. And temptations, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. And He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love in vain, let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back. Today we worship You. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, of our worship. You are worthy of our lives. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of all that we can give to You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for making us worthy to receive salvation, making us worthy to receive eternal life through Your shed blood, Jesus, on the cross. You've made us worthy. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord, this morning. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Of lightning, rolls of thunder, and honor, strength, and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yes, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath. Slain, holy, holy. Holy, holy heart, holy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Blessing and glory and honor be to you, Lord, today. Lord, we honor you and we worship you. We magnify you. Lord, let our lives speak of that. Let our actions speak of that. Speak of a life that is lived for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we pray for our nation today. We pray for a healing in our land. We pray for a healing for those that are sick. We pray for provision. We pray for help and hope be given to every person, Lord, as we look up to you, as our lives have slowed down, Lord. We continue to reach up and to reach out to the one who is the author of life. God, we praise you this morning and we honor you on this day. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray for our governor. We pray for our mayor. We pray, Father God, that you would give wisdom and guidance and direction. We pray, Father God, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. This morning we are so glad to have our associate pastor, Phil Freeman, who is going to be sharing the word. We appreciate him and his ministry and his family here. So give it up for Pastor Phil as he comes to share the word today.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I'm excited about sharing with you today. And so I hope that the Lord has just been blessing you in the midst of all this chaos and this craziness. My desire and my prayer for you is that your family would not just survive this, but that you would thrive in the Lord. And, you know, during this time of the pandemic, I'm sure there are many things that each of us are missing. And maybe for you, you're missing just sitting down, going out to eat. And for me, I'm visualizing that right now. And it involves, you know, pounds and pounds of chips and cups of queso. And so maybe that's you today. Maybe you're missing going to the movies. Maybe you just, man, you'd love to just, you've seen a lot of stuff on TV at your house, but you'd love to just go and get you a big bucket of movie theater popcorn. How come everything I visualize revolves around food? I'm not sure, but, or maybe for some of you, it's seeing your kids or your extended family. For some of you grandparents, it's seeing your grandkids. You'd love to just embrace them and hug them and make some cookies with them in your kitchen and take them to go get some ice cream or to the park or whatever it may be. I got to admit, I'm missing all of the above. I'm missing every one of those besides the grandkids. I don't have any of those yet. If my son and daughter-in-law listen, though, I am open to the possibility of having grandchildren. But one other thing that I'm missing is this. I'm missing sports. Thank the Lord for the NFL draft that happened this last weekend. My wife doesn't feel as appreciative about it, but I enjoyed the NFL draft and got my computer out and the whole thing. And apparently the Dallas Cowboys are now going to be called the Dallas Sooners because they have drafted a bunch of OU players. So that's awesome. But if I'm even being more honest, not only have I missed sports, but I needed to share with you today a deep concern I have in my heart, and that is this. Is I am deeply concerned about the potential disruption of college football. Now, this is something that I feel we need to really be going to the Lord about because we need college football. And if you don't know why, then we need to talk about some deep-seated issues you have in your life because college football is essential for a living, at least in my house it is. And what I want to talk to you about today is I've titled my message, The God of the Impossible. The God of the Impossible. And what I want to talk to you about today is there are many reasons I love college football, but among them is a play that they call the Hail Mary. I love the Hail Mary play. Here, you have to understand, if you're familiar with football, you already understand that the Hail Mary, while exciting, is not a play that you run every day. You're not going to run it every week. Matter of fact, it is reserved. This play is reserved as an emergency. It is a last resort. It is a last hope. This is a play that's run when a team basically has one play left. And if they don't score, the game's over and they're gonna be defeated. I love the Hail Mary. I love it because what makes it so exciting is that so much has to come together for it to even work. So much of it has to come together for it to even work. And if you'll indulge me today, if you're not a college football fan or you're not a sports fan, just follow along with me and laugh at my illustration of this play. But here's what has to happen. You have to understand that on a Hail Mary, the ball has to be snacked perfectly. And the quarterback has to elude the tacklers. All right, so he's moving around. He's moving around trying to give time. While he's doing that, his blockers have to block people. So they're blocking and they keep blocking because this play takes time. This play takes time. And while the quarterback's running around and the blockers are blocking, the receivers are running as fast as they can down the field to try to get open. And just at the right moment, right before the defender can get to the quarterback has to plant his foot and throw with all of his might as far as he can get it, hoping to get the ball in the perfect position in the end zone, where a defender, for some reason, trips or is out of position, and the receiver goes up and he catches the ball and he brings it down and they score. And what I love about the Hail Mary is that in that moment, the impossible becomes possible. In that moment, one team goes from certain defeat to certain victory. And we serve a God who is the God of the impossible. We serve a God who takes the impossible and makes it possible. In 1975, Roger Staubach, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, did this very play and executed it for a win in the playoffs. And afterwards, they asked him, "What did you do? What did you do in that moment?" He said, "You know what I did? I closed my eyes, I threw the ball as far as I could throw it, and I said a Hail Mary." In that moment, Roger Staubach was saying, "I said a prayer." Because a prayer, and only with God, was it going to work. Now you may ask yourself, does Jesus really have a favorite team? Now this is debatable. In my heart, I like to believe that Jesus' favorite team is the Oklahoma Sooners. But if I was being honest, he probably really doesn't care that much about football. But here's the good news. I am securely certain that he loves his people. I am securely certain that although Roger Staubach threw that pass, when he completed it, it wasn't like Jesus was in heaven going, "Yes!" But I do believe that when you allow God, the God of the impossible, to make it possible in your life, he is shouting in heaven. And so this morning, what I really want to talk to you about is the God of the impossible. The Word of God tells us that God is the God of the impossible. I want to ask you today, how many times have we been at a dead end and then God created a way? How many times have we wanted to give up, but God gave us the strength to make it through? How many times has the enemy tried to defeat us and it looked like certain defeat, and yet God brought us victory in our lives? How many times have we faced the impossible, what people said would never happen, what people said could never go on? How many times will we face those situations, but God provided the possible? Throughout Scripture, we see time and time the hand of God move in and through his people. The good news is that in Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says that he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Which means not only was he the God of the impossible, my friends, but he is still today the God of the impossible. And so I'd like us to look at three keys to experiencing the God of the impossible in our life. Raise your hand today at home. Raise your hand wherever you're at. If you would like to experience the God of the impossible in your life today, well, then I'm going to give you three keys to doing just that. The first one is this, is obedience. Obedience is pivotal for us to experience the God of the impossible. How many of you believe that miracles still happen today? I believe that miracles still happen today. I believe that God works in and through his people this very day. I believe that God has created miracles in the midst of COVID-19. I believe that God has created miracles in the midst of financial crisis, in the midst of his people, in these current days. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, is a popular verse that we love to quote. And it says this, "For nothing is impossible with God." How many of you know what that's in reference to? The verses just before this is where the angel of the Lord is speaking to Mary. And he's telling Mary, he says, Mary says, "I cannot be pregnant, I am a virgin." And the angel of the Lord says, not only are you pregnant, but so is your relative Elizabeth. And why is that important? Because Elizabeth was not only up in age, but Elizabeth was barren. And what the angel of the Lord was saying to Mary is, you serve a God who even, it is possible even to be a virgin and be pregnant, or be barren and be with child. And the same angel of the Lord who spoke to Mary would speak to us to say, for nothing is impossible with God. I want us to talk a few minutes about the story of Moses. It's found in the book of Exodus, and we know the story of Moses. Moses is called by the Lord to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And after many plagues, the final one being the death of the firstborn, the Pharaoh finally decides to let the people go. And we find them, the Israelites, in Exodus chapter 14 at the Red Sea. And the Bible says that they set up camp just this side of the Red Sea. And that before long, Pharaoh had changed his mind. And he brought all of his greatest warriors with him, and he was going to capture back the Israelites. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites, so as it was like night and day, and darkness and light, so that they could not touch one another throughout the night. And in the morning, the Bible says that Moses stretched out his hand, and that the waters receded, and the Israelites walked across on dry land. And that after that, the Egyptians came after them, and Moses withdrew his staff. The waters receded. The waters came back down, and they drowned the Egyptians. But what the importance of this story is this, is the reason they set up camp is because the Lord told them to. The Lord said, you need to camp here. And here's the reason. It's because I need you to be in a situation where it is impossible for you to get out of it without me. I need you to put your full trust in who I am. I need you to be in an impossible situation where the God of the impossible will be needed to make it possible. We see that not only did they set up the camp, but then Moses stretched out his hand. The reason why is in Exodus chapter 14. That's exactly what the Lord told him to do, to raise up his staff that the water would come part so that they could go across. And that then he would take his staff down so the water would come back together and the Egyptians would drown. The reason that the Israelites were able to experience the God of the impossible is because they were obedient to do what he asked them to do. He asked them to camp and they camped. He asked them to be still and they were still. Did they grumble and exit? Absolutely, they questioned. But in the end, they were obedient to what he asked. He asked Moses to raise his staff and he did. I ask you today, how is your level of obedience? Are you doing what the Lord has asked you to do? In the midst of what we feel like in this pandemic, when we feel like we're trapped against the Red Sea, and maybe it's not the Egyptians coming at us today. Maybe it's financial stress coming at you. Maybe it's sickness of a friend or a loved one. Maybe it's the panic of the media and what they're creating. Maybe it's the worry about our economy. You fill in the blank today of what your army is that's chasing you. And let me ask you, in the squeeze between the Red Sea and the worries and the army of the world, let me ask you, are you faithfully doing what the Lord has asked you to do? Are you faithfully praying for the lost in the time when you're at home anyway? Are you praying for your family? Are you praying for your friends? Are you praying for those in your community? Are you praying for those who are lost in the midst of this pandemic? Are you calling and checking on others? Are you seeing to those who maybe you could help? Are you seeing to those who maybe need assistance? Are you checking on people who could get lost in this time, but God would have you to see after them? Are you listening to His voice? Are you listening to His voice today when He speaks to you? Or are we more worried about what the people on TV are saying? Are we more worried about what's happening on Channel 4 or Channel 5 or Channel 9 or whatever channel it is where you're at, the news comes on? Are we more worried about what man says to do? Are we worried about being obedient to what God has called us to do? Fear, depression, sickness, defeat, they often stand in the way of obedience. Let me say that again. Fear, depression, sickness, defeat often stand in the way of obedience. But the word of the Lord says, I do not give you the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. The Lord gives us a mind and wisdom to listen to what He is telling us to do. I can only imagine the Israelites trapped up against the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming with their greatest warriors. I can only imagine the fear that would grip their heart. And Moses speaks to them and says, the Lord said He would take care of us. And I'm speaking to you today and I'm telling you, the Lord says He will take care of you. But we must be obedient. Our lack of obedience stands in the way of us experiencing the God of the impossible. We must be obedient to what He's telling us to do. The second key is this. The second key is submission. Submission. Let me explain the difference. Obedience is following orders. Somebody says, hey, go sweep that room. And you go sweep the room. Hey, pick up the trash. You pick up the trash. Obedience is following orders. Submission is yielding to authority. You're going to understand the difference in just a minute. The second key is submission. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is found in Daniel chapter 3. It's an incredible story. We find in Daniel chapter 3 that King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar got a little big for his britches. He thought he was more than what he was, and he listened to some people around him. He listened to the wrong people. And the Bible says that he not only made a statue, but it says that the king made an image of gold, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. He made an 810 square foot statue of himself. And then the leaders around him convinced him that everyone should bow to it. That everyone in the nation, so they're going to play this music. And when the music is played, everybody knows to bow towards this idol of the king. And then to make it go further, he says, anyone who doesn't is to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And here in Daniel chapter 3, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faithful servants of the Lord. We find these young men who believe so deeply in the authority of the Lord. Not that they're trying to be disrespectful to the king, but understanding that the king is a man and God is God. And the report comes back to the king that they're not bowing down to the image. And so he brings them forth. He says, guys, listen, when the music is played, what I need you to do is I need you to bow down to the image. I need you to bow down to the image that I have made. And they said, I'm sorry, king, but we cannot do that. We cannot honor you above our God. And he said, well, listen, I hate to tell you this, but if you don't bow down to the image, if you don't bow down to it, we're going to have to throw you into the fiery furnace. And they said, well, king, we understand what you're saying, but we're going to trust our Lord, and you have to do what you must do. We will not bow down to any other God than the one true God. The Bible says that the king became so enraged that he told him to make the furnace 7 times hotter than it had already been. I have a feeling the furnace was already plenty hot, but he was trying to make a point. He said, then I want you to tie them up, leave all their clothes on, bound their hands, and then I want you to just throw them in. And the scripture says that the guards, that the soldiers tied them up, and they went to throw them in. And the Bible says that the furnace was so hot that when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they threw them into the furnace, that it burned up, it killed the soldiers that were throwing them in. That is one hot furnace, my friends. Well, seeing as though the king knows that his soldiers were killed just throwing them in, he figured this would be quick. This is over already. But he looks in the furnace, and guess what he sees? To his amazement, not only are they alive, but he looks at his assistant and he says, are there 4 of them in there? I thought we threw 3 in there. Why are there 4? We're going to get to that in a minute. And so the king realizes that they're not dying. And so, being smart, knowing that his soldiers had been burned up, the Bible says he stood back from the furnace and hollered in, hey, guys, come out. The Bible says that they walked out of the furnace, and here's what it says. It says that they didn't just survive. Here's what I said this earlier, and I want you to understand this. God has a deep desire for you and your family during this time, that you would not just survive, but that you would thrive. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't just survive, they thrived. The Bible says that when they came out, they were unbound and unharmed. The Bible says that not one hair was singed on their head, that their robes were not scorched, and they did not smell like fire. Now, if you're like me, if you've ever roasted a marshmallow or a hot dog over a little bonfire, you roast one marshmallow and your clothes smell like it for a week. They threw them into a furnace that was 7 times hotter than it needed to be. And the Bible says they didn't even smell like it. And then it says, and this is maybe the best part of the whole thing, it says that the king honored them for their faithful submission to the Lord. I want you to understand that when you submit your life to the right authority, even the world will honor your submission. When you submit yourself to the right authority, even the world will honor your submission. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus was asked by his disciples the question, who then can be saved? And here's how Jesus answered. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With God, with the God of the impossible, the answer to the question of who can be saved is all can be saved. All can be saved. Whether it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire in a furnace that's 7 times hotter than it needed to be can be saved, or whether it's your family or your friends that are in the hospital today, there's somebody you know that's sick, or maybe some people you're praying for right now. Maybe it's somebody who's facing the loss of a job, or maybe somebody who's struggling to other situation that's been created through this whole pandemic. What you need to understand is this, is that the Bible says that all can be saved. Jesus came to save us from our hurts. He came to save us from our illness. He came to save us from our disappointments. And he came to save us ultimately and most importantly from our sin. But you need to understand something. To experience the God of the impossible, we must submit. Submission is at the key of it. We must submit our hearts to experience salvation. We must submit our worries to experience the peace of God. We must submit our sickness and our illness for healing. If you want the God of the impossible to work in your life, you have to give it to Him. Let me repeat that again. If you want the God of the impossible to work in your life, you have to give it to Him. You have to give it to Him, my friends. No fair trying to take control and, oh, I'm gonna, if the quarterback in the play wants to score, he can't hold on to the ball. He can't go, listen, I want this play to work. Keep blocking. I want this play to work. You keep running. I want this play to work and hold on to the ball. At some point, we've got to release it to the Lord. And here's the greatest thing about it is the king, if we look back at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king realized that the fourth person was the Son of God. He realized that it wasn't just some man. He realized it wasn't just somebody that they had called upon. Oh, somebody who somehow said some supernatural crazy way to save them from this fiery furnace. The king looked at it and he goes, isn't there a fourth? It looks like the Son of God. When we submit to God and allow His presence in our lives, even the world can see Him. Let me say that again. When we submit to God, when we give God what we've been fighting with, when we give God our impossible situation, when we give God what we can't do on our own, when we give God and we submit to Him and we surrender, we can step into the furnace of life and know that His presence in our life will be enough and that the world will see it and He will receive the glory. That's the greatest thing about it. You know what's interesting about the Hail Mary? Is that when those plays happen, I've seen several of them before, and the game's won, and that replays forever on YouTube, all right? You can go back, and they've got videos where all they show is Hail Marys that made it, right? Here's what's interesting. When that game's over, no one talks about the running back who fumbled the ball in the second quarter. No one talks about the lineman who held in a critical play. No one talks about the defensive guy who dropped the interception, which would have secured the game, and instead the other team went down and scored. No one talks about how the coach called a terrible play on this play, and that's why they weren't going to win. Nobody talks about that. You know what they talk about? They talk about the quarterback, usually, and the receiver. They talk about this one play that snatched victory out of the jaws of defeat. They talk about that one play. And you know what's great is that no matter what you've done in your life, no matter how many times you fumbled the ball, no matter how many times you held on the play, no matter how many times you made a bad call, no matter how many times things haven't gone right in your life, God is going to get the glory, because no matter what you did to mess it up, everybody's going to be looking at Him to see that He made the possible out of an impossible situation. We got to have obedience, and we have to have submission. Thirdly, we need prayer. We've got to have prayer in our lives. I've been doing prayer and devotion at 4 o'clock several days a week during this pandemic on Facebook, and I've been challenging those who've been watching and those who would watch it after I was even done, that we've got to consistently have prayer in our life, not just during this time, but especially during this time, but throughout our life, that prayer is the key to having the God of the impossible in our lives. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we see a popular passage of scripture that's being read by lots of people right now, pastors and other churches and things like that. And I think it is supremely appropriate for this time that we're in. And so I'm going to read it to you today. And it simply says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, that's correct, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Prayer is just simply talking to God And like any conversation, there's an exchange. Whether it's an exchange of ideas, whether it's an exchange of emotions, whether it's an exchange of feelings, there is an exchange that happens in conversation. And the exchange of this passage works this way. If we will humble ourselves. What does humble ourselves mean? It means to know that we're not in control, that this situation is impossible on our own. We're going to submit it. We're going to be obedient and give it to God. We're going to humble ourselves and say, I can't do it on my own. And then we pray and seek God's face. It means we talk to God and we ask Him, what should we do? And most importantly, turn from our sin. Here's what the Bible says, that if we'll do that, the Bible says that God has assured us that He would hear us from heaven, and that He would forgive our sin, and that He would heal our land. That sounds like a good deal to me. It sounds like a good deal to me. The impossible becomes possible because people like you and me dare to believe in Him. Let me say it again. The impossible becomes possible because people like you and like me dare to believe in Him. In a world where doctors are baffled, we pray to a God who knows exactly what to do. In a world where people are sick, we pray to a God who heals. In a world where people are facing financial crisis, we pray to a God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Are you with me today? In a world where leaders lack wisdom, we pray to a God who created the world and everything in it. In a world of darkness, we pray to a God who brought light. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you, the one who is in you, my friend, is greater than the one that is in the world. The one that is in you and in me is greater than the one who is in the world. I close with these thoughts today. He is the God of the impossible. Have you got that yet? He is the God of the impossible. He's not the God of defeat, but He's the God of hope. He's not the God of sickness, but He is the God of healing. He's not the God of fear, but He is the God of peace. He's not the God of depression, but He is the God of joy. He is the God of revival too. You know what He revives? This is my prayer for you today, is that as you realize that you serve and I serve, we serve the God of the impossible, that I pray that it would revive in you, revive in you hope. Hope for a better day coming soon. It would revive in you faith. Faith that He knows the way, that He cares about His people, and that He's going to take care of us. That it would revive in you peace. A peace that surpasses, the Word of God says, that surpasses all understanding. I've been praying that over our church. I've been praying that over our community. That, Lord, I speak against fear, and I pray for Your peace that would just lay like a blanket over us today. That You revive our love for one another. In a time when frustration happens and anger and hate and malice and whose fault is it, and oh, this country did this, and oh, this leader did that, I'm praying right now that we, that the God of revival will revive love in our hearts for one another. And lastly, that God would revive joy. That the joy of the Lord may be our strength. He is the God of revival. And He will revive all these things in you if you will let Him. So the question remains, will you be obedient to what He's asked of you? Are you listening, and will you be obedient? Will you submit to His authority above the authority of man and all the other voices that are speaking to your life today? And will you pray? Come on, people. Will you pray like you've never prayed before? It's what we need. We don't need another solution. We don't need another stimulus package. We don't need whatever else that man comes up with. We need to get on our knees and pray like we've never prayed before. Because the God of the impossible waits on the other side of the yes to these questions. Yes, God, I will be obedient. Yes, God, I will submit to your authority. Yes, God, I will pray and I will talk to you like I've never talked to you before. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, Lord? I pray for every person in this place that is watching on Facebook and other avenues. Lord, I pray that you have spoken to our hearts today, that you are the God. You are the God of the impossible. What man says can't be done, God, you can do it. And may even though the furnace be turned up 7 times hotter in our life than it's ever been before, we will walk in submission to you, knowing we will come out of that furnace unscathed, unsinged, and unhurt. Lord, we praise you and we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for being the God of the impossible. If you're watching today and maybe you need to submit your heart to the Lord, you need to give your heart to Jesus. Would you just repeat after me? Say, "Dear Jesus, I want to give my heart to you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please come into my heart. Please give me a new purpose and make me a new creation. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen." I want to leave you with these last two things. I want to leave you with something to take action. This is a take action point. This Thursday at 6:30, a group of believers are meeting at the state capitol. We're going to park in the parking lot. We're going to stay in our cars. We're going to put our lights on so that everybody knows why we're there. And this Thursday is April 30th. It's the day before May begins and all these phases come into effect and everything. And all we're doing is showing our leaders that we're praying for them. That we pray that God's wisdom would guide them in every decision they make for our state. And so we're going to meet up there at the state capitol. If you have any questions, you can call me here at the church. But we're going to meet at the state capitol, stay in our, and we're just going to pray like we've never prayed before. So you can take action this week. You can join me. I'm going to be there 6:30 on Thursday praying for our leaders. And then I want to give you something to renew yourself. When you get off this today, and we close this service, and we are in just a moment, would you, before the day's done, would you get on the internet and would you look up God of Revival by Bethel Music? The song's called God of Revival, and it's by Bethel Music. And it talks about that God can do what he said he would do. He can move mountains, and he can heal those that are sick. And I want to ask you to listen to it and just pray and let it renew yourself today before this day's over. God of Revival by Bethel Music. Let me just say this. We love you. We're so thankful that you've joined us today. And may the Lord bless you. And may your faith be strong as you believe in the God of the impossible. Until Wednesday, we'll see you later. Amen.